Nellie McKay on 91.3 WYSO, Long and Lazy River. Somewhere down the crazy river, Robbie Robertson himself on 91.3 WYSO. We're back in studio, and it's so great to have Aaron Rourke. He's the president of the Board for Rivers Unlimited, the statewide scenic conservation group, and also getting involved in helping the Mad River become a part of this situation. A screening tomorrow at Wittenberg University. That's in the Bailey Auditorium at the Barbara Durr Kuss Science Center. The screening gets underway tomorrow night at 7. You can find your tickets, and I hope you do, at riversunlimited.org. So the Mad River, about 50 miles long, and there's you're not necessarily working to designate every part of it, but you've got a particular little piece picked out. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, how it's, tell us about this 22-mile strip.
Yeah, the piece that we're looking at is in Clark County. It's 22 miles long, and it's pretty much all of Clark County. The river does start much farther north than that, but there's a great deal of public support in Clark County, and the river meets the criteria, which is important. In the northern stretches, it's been channelized extensively, and it'll be a while before it returns to its natural course.
Channelized meaning like the dug out the bank, sort of like instead of letting it take its own course.
It's, yes. Yeah. It's been straightened, and it's also been levied. So not only is it in a straight channel, but the banks have been built up to help contain floodwaters.
Mm. Which, of course, seems like a good idea.
It does, and it really did after the big flood back at in the first couple decades of the last century. So the Conservancy District was responsible for flood control, needed to protect Springfield and Dayton, mm-hmm. and the Mad River comes right into downtown Dayton. So the dam was erected on Buck Creek, which is probably the biggest tributary of the Mad River. And now we've got C.J. Brown Reservoir.
Yeah. So the river system and how we interact with it like is a life-defining, community-defining, and I'm so pleased about what's happening with SMRC. That's the Scenic Mad River Committee. And gentleman Bob Jurek, who's sort of heading that up and spearheading this effort.
Yeah, Bob has started a lot of trouble in his life. He's a longtime conservationist. Had to do with the beginning of the Beaver Creek Wetlands Association, which is just fabulously successful.
Yeah.
And also BW Greenway, which aims to connect Wenrick Fen with the Beaver Creek Wetlands.
And something else that we talked about, we had a representative speaking specifically about the Beaver Creek Wetlands. Our beloved Poor Will's Almanac, Bill Felker, was giving a speech. Mm-hmm. And I'm so absolutely invigorated by the wealth, or I should say maybe the huge number of people that are involved in preserving the very place that we live in. There's a lot of people that care about wetlands, that care about rivers, that care about open spaces and natural. And just think what goes on with the Whitehall Farm and with the Tecumseh Land Trust and all this. It's a beautiful place to live, and there's a lot of people who are very, very invested in seeing that happen. Tell us how you got involved in the being about preserving the rivers.
Oh, well, it had been a fascination of mine since I was a kid. I was raised in Chillicothe, a fairly rural place and very scenic, very beautiful, mm-hmm. with some real deep time cultural history. You know, so many earthworks there, and mound building culture is everywhere you look, or the remnants. So I spent my days roaming around the fields and streams with my friend Scott Kellenberger as a kid. I didn't think you could do that sort of thing, though, for a living. We both agreed
yeah.
someday we were going to have cabins in Alaska, and aww. There were no visible means of support attached to that story, but that was what we were going with. I think he's come closest. He's a game warden in Alabama now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, see how a river sort of gets in your soul? And
well, it really did, and when I found that Rivers Unlimited was looking for volunteers, and by the way, I went to a fundraiser.
Yay.
It was down at Southgate House across the river.
Oh, sure.
And foolish me, I showed up at the appointed time, which is 9 o'clock. Rock shows don't start on time. So I had the full attention of the ringmaster there, and he explained what Rivers Unlimited did and how they needed people to help with some of their programs. Unbeknownst to me, they were actually trying to recruit new board members. And so That's how I got entrained in this.
Worked out well. So if you've always been wondering about rivers, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Wittenberg University might just be your door, your window into this great effort. Come out. The proceeds benefit the effort by SMRC, the Scenic Mad River Committee, to get the Mad River designated as a scenic river eventually. But it looks like recreation is going to be the first step, which is just nothing but good news.
This is a really interesting approach. This is part of the novelty. And we think that this model can be used around the state from now on. The Scenic River Program actually has three designations available. Wild is very difficult to meet. The criteria are very strict, and only two of our 14 scenic rivers actually meet wild criteria.
Wow, very rare.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum is the recreational criteria. Right smack in the middle is scenic, and most people think of the Scenic River Program as only involving these designated scenic rivers that they see the signs for. In the Miami Valley, it's the Little Miami – they would be, I should say, the Little Miami and the Stillwater State Scenic Rivers. Always in the past, recreational designation has been tacked on as an add-on to a scenic or a wild designation. So, for example, locally, the Stillwater was designated as a state scenic river, except for the last 2 or 3 miles through downtown Dayton into the Great Miami, which were too urban to meet the criteria. So they were designated recreational. Well, what SMRC is doing is novel in that they're going for a recreational designation as the primary one. And it's because the preliminary analysis by this agreed-upon expert, Dr. Ritter at Wittenberg, showed that, you know what, it doesn't quite meet scenic criteria, but it meets recreational. So we changed expectations, we regrouped, we said we're going for the stepping stone approach. So, Dr. Ritter, can you show us where the weaknesses are? Mm. And he created very helpfully this nice chart. It's tenth of a mile by tenth of a mile, so 220 rows in your chart. Mm. Across the top, then, the four criteria that a river has to meet. Now, put a green dot where the river meets the scenic criteria and a red dot where it doesn't, and we'll start working on the red dots, getting them out of the way, and linking up green sections.
So people are actually going out and putting hands on. It's not just this sort of almost a community effort, a political drive. You have to take your hands and make it too.
Oh, absolutely. There are some trout fishing fanatics on this river that go out, it seems like every weekend, and they do trash cleanups or tree plantings, or they get rid of an artificial log jam that accumulated somewhere and is impairing the health of the stream. There is a lot of hands-on work. And with this new chart now, we'll be able to see where the trees need to go.
Now, is that going to be made public? Will that eventually be part of the public access to that, or how?
You know what? There is going to be public access tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Bailey Auditorium.
That's exactly right, isn't it? That's when you can see Call of the Scenic River, a beautiful, beautiful documentary by all accounts. It's called Call of the Scenic River, an Ohio Journey. The screening is at 7 o'clock tomorrow at Wittenberg University in the Bailey Auditorium. That's the Barbara Durquist Science Center. Very kind price to get in here. Proceeds benefit the SMRC effort. And you can find out more at riversunlimited.org. Also, there's a pretty cool map at the ohiodnr.com. Click through and see Ohio's scenic rivers. And it's gratifying to see how much good work has been done, also to see what's yet to be done.
And if you're interested in seeing a map of the Mad River and all of its specifics, take a look at wittenberg.edu and Professor Tom Martin's page, because he has paddled, and I suppose he probably walked the bitter end way up north until he could paddle, and he's noted every bridge and feature and mile marker along the way. And there's a lot of interesting information, especially if you're thinking of fishing or taking a paddling trip.
Investing in our rivers, it is a good, good cause. You can put a little bit of your effort and a couple of dollars that way tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Wittenberg University. We're talking with Aaron Rourke, the president of the board for Rivers Unlimited, the statewide river conservation group, and we'll be right back with him live in the studio on 91.3 WYSO.